Some might be surprised about the lectionary committee's choice of scripture for this Sunday. The lectionary committee being the group that chooses the assigned readings for each Sunday. For through the cycle of readings, we go from the side of the manger on Christmas Eve all the way to Jesus' appearance in the temple at age 12, all in the span of just 5 days. Why the jump, you ask? Well, the lectionary committee has its own reasons, I'm sure, which aren't generally made public, so I can't answer for them. I have my own reasons, however, for why I love their selection. So listen carefully as I read the passage, and then let's come back together and see if we might figure out the purpose for their choice. Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52, as read from the Message. Every year, Jesus' parents traveled to Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up, as they always did, for the feast. When it was over and they left for home, the child Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents didn't know it. Thinking he was somewhere in the company of pilgrims, they journeyed for a whole day and then began looking for Jesus among relatives and neighbors. When they didn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem looking for him. The next day they found him in the temple, seated among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. The teachers were all quite taken with Jesus, impressed with the sharpness of his answers. But his parents were not impressed. They were upset and hurt. His mother said, "Young man, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been half out of our minds looking for you." He said, "Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that I had to be here, dealing with the things of my father?" But they had no idea what Jesus was talking about. So he went back to Nazareth with them and lived obediently with them. His mother held these things dearly, deeply within herself. And Jesus matured, growing up in both body and spirit, blessed by both God and people. Thus ends the reading. So, why this passage? Well, since my time with you is limited this morning, due to our singing of all those Christmas carols, let me cut right to the chase. I love the choice of this morning's gospel reading for two reasons. First, the passage reminds us that this little baby whose arrival we celebrated the other day was no anarchist. No, this little baby Jesus was not only born into a faith tradition, both he and his family were active participants in that tradition, participants who loved and cherished that tradition. To put my first point in today's language, Jesus was clearly not one of those spiritual but not religious folks that you hear so much about these days. No, Jesus was one of those spiritual and religious folks. Which leads me to the second thing I love about the passage. While the growing baby Jesus was not an anarchist, the passage also lets us know that he was absolutely not a pushover. He pushed his tradition, he questioned his tradition, and he grew to embody the very best of what that tradition aspired to. He was, in fact, the very essence of it. Now, those two things that I've just mentioned are true not only of and for Jesus, but I believe those are the same two qualities that his followers are called to live into as well. For we, too, are folks called to be grounded in a rich faith tradition. We don't have the luxury of simply throwing out everything that does not work for us and creating an image of God in our own image. No, like Jesus, we are called to wrestle with our tradition and to stay in dialogue with it so that we too might have a deep sense of roots like he did. But like Jesus, our call doesn't end there. For like Jesus, we too are called to push the tradition, to question the tradition, and to grow to embody the very best of what our tradition is all about. That's why when institutional faith leaders try to hide or justify expressions of abuse or neglect in Jesus' name, we don't let them get away with it. Instead, we call them back to the ideals of Jesus, the one in whose name they were called to serve. And when folks try to use the Christian tradition to justify things like racism, nationalism, sexism, heterosexism, or classism, or any of all the other isms that would have us believe that God loves some of God's children more than others, we aggressively question their conclusions. We question anything and anyone that undermines the two greatest commandments that that little baby Jesus grew up to teach us, the love of God and the love of neighbor. And finally, when folks try to justify or cover up things ranging from the death of immigrant children in detention camps to the explosion of income inequality to those who would place the Second Amendment, the right to own a gun, before the First Commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. In those times, we do what Jesus did. We bring a sense of moral clarity back to those situations, the kind of which the world is not capable of achieving on its own. So, friends, as we return to the singing of our beloved Christmas carols in just a moment, may we hold on to the truths to which those familiar songs point us to. Truth that calls us back to our very roots, and truths that challenge the world to embrace the ways of this cute little Christ child. Amen.